listening to Living BDSM Podcast, episode 137. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the drinking way too much coffee, way too late at night, John Brownstone.
Is there any other way?
Yes, there are many
other ways to do this.
9:30 at night and coffee, it's just, you're going to regret your life choices.
No, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are. And you'll tell me about it tomorrow when you don't sleep tonight. This week, to get back to the subject at hand, we're talking about service submission, which is only just one type of submission.
Something near and dear to my heart.
And mine as well. Yeah. I got a thing I was supposed to do and you're like derailing me.
All I did was agree with you.
I know, I'm not used to it. Do the intro now.
Go ahead.
Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. Yes, we're like this all the time. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app, or if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us, or a like on the video on YouTube, yeah, to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I hate, LovingDS, and the number one,
LovingDS. I think everybody knows how you feel about that.
We have new listeners all the time. They don't all know I hate that handle. Unless they go back in the archive, they don't know why I hate it. I'm not going into it here, okay? I'm not. But there are reasons, and if you listen back far enough, you will find them out.
Okay.
And we are on YouTube, and I got to claim our shortened URL. It's youtube.com/lovingbdsm. A name I freaking like because it's our name. It's our name. So you can get to us on
What's
YouTube.
What's our name?
Loving BDSM, damn it. You can get to us easier on YouTube. So there's that too. All links are in the show notes, and if you are watching this and not listening to it, you're actually watching the video of it. Oh, by the way, loyal listeners, there's now video of this. and I don't know if that's the best idea we ever had, but the show notes for YouTube watchers, there's a link to the show notes down below in the description, so you can get to all the links we mentioned and everything.
Now, just to clarify, the video is not going out at the same time as the
podcast. No, the video goes out only because it's a much bigger video and we're already usually editing the audio kind of on the fly. Not this week, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the video takes me a little bit longer. Sometimes I got to actually edit, and sometimes I'm like, just because it's a big file, because we talk a lot. Yes, I talk. He's pointing. For podcast listeners, he's pointing at me, but y'all already knew that. We all already know who the culprit is. And I'm totally good with that. But no, so that actually comes out on Mondays. And we are also, I made you a good coffee, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
I know. I'm a great coffee bitch. I'm your coffee bitch. I am nobody else's coffee bitch, but I am your coffee bitch.
Coffee service.
Yes, coffee service, exactly. But not like real coffee service. Just I make the coffee when you tell me to make the coffee.
Yes.
That's pretty much how that goes. We'll get to that. I've still got an announcement for you. You're distracting me. He's distracting me. And we are, so we are putting out our archive of audio only on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And that's good because some people, that's really the only place they get their content is through YouTube. And we just want to try and reach more people to be able to help more people and grow our audience. So it's just another avenue. But what it means from last week, episode 136, going forward, it's both audio and video.
Right.
And
we're not going to re-video the old archive.
No. Good
and,
God.
And
no.
I've slowly started working on converting the old audio into file format.
That works for
you.
That
works for you too.
Right. But if you would like a giggle, especially if you're just a loyal listener and you're like, I'm happy to listen to you on Apple Podcasts or Google Play or wherever you're listening to us now. If you would like a giggle, you should go to our YouTube channel and at least for a few minutes, because it's a long episode. I know that. Take a peek at the YouTube video because neither of us is used to being on camera for that amount of time, especially doing this.
Yeah.
That neither of us looked at the camera till the end. And because we didn't really think these things through, the mic bar, because we normally have
our mic boom interface
in my face through the entire episode, and it was only like halfway through that you pulled down another part that was completely blocking my face.
Yeah.
Like, because that's how we are. The first time we do something, we like just whatever, we just do it.
Yeah.
And then we go, oh, well, we could have done that better. And then we do it better.
Then we do it better.
So for episode 137, we have a lighting issue. So I want to get to the little announcement, but I want to make a bigger announcement first. So y'all know, as podcast listeners, we tend to record late at night, right before we want the episode to go out. That is not actually the case here. Yes, we are recording at night, but we are recording on Wednesday night. Normally that's Thursday night. Why are we doing that? Because today is John Brownstone's birthday eve. His birthday is July 12th. I will blow it up on Twitter, so anybody who follows us there will be able to see it. Belated birthday wishes totally count too on Friday, if you hear the show on Friday. But so he's going to enjoy his birthday and not spend 2 hours on a podcast.
No.
And I don't blame him.
I'm turning 57 years young.
I know. And to me, I don't know what people in their 50s are supposed to look like anymore, because my mom is a year older than you. That is as strange to say as it is to live, and it is as it is to hear. That's because there's an 18-year age difference between us, and my mother is only 19 years older than me. So that's why that happened. But she doesn't strike me as whatever I might have ever imagined 50s would look like or be like. You're not like that. But even my stepdad is in his 60s. I'm like, I don't know what I thought 60s were, but this wasn't it. This is not old.
I know. I mean, it's weird even to me, because there was a time in my late teens, early 20s, growing up where I had this very Timothy Leary attitude of, you don't trust anybody over 30.
Oh, Lord God, I don't trust anybody under 30. No, I should not say that. I should not say that. I need to walk that back immediately.
Yeah, you do.
I have like,
opening
I can count
a can of worms with that.
I know.
One.
I can count on my hand immediately people that I know are under 30, and they're great people and they're smart.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful. They know I love them. However, I also realize I'm getting old and cranky. I'm not old by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not old, but I am becoming older and I'm crankier. And I look at 20-year-olds and I go, oh my God, they're babies. Like I keep thinking, how they're not 20. That's not what 20 looks like. That's what 20 looks like, because I'm getting older. I don't like this. I'd like that part to stop.
Never be as old as I am.
Or eventually.
Never, oh, no, okay.
God,
yeah,
I hope I'll hit 57.
You'll never catch up to me.
I don't want to catch up to you. I like you being older. That's a whole other conversation. That's
okay.
Not what we're here to talk about. We could do one on age differences, though, I'm just saying. So, one last announcement. Now, our steady listeners know that this is just what it's like. New people are like, what the fuck am I listening to? Somebody told me I really needed to check this out, and these people won't stop talking. Sorry, y'all. We're punchier than normal. I have no good excuse. But I did, what I was starting to say, I'm all that. So, by us recording at night, yay,
yeah.
Way or 24 hours earlier than normal, but the lighting on the video will be fucked up. So like that. So we fixed the mic thing, and now the lighting's all jacked up. Whatever. I'm not a professional, and I'm pretending to be one. Moving on, though. I do want to remind everybody that we are on Patreon. We've been talking about it the last couple weeks.
Yes.
Since we had to take down the forum and the membership community side of Loving BDSM for right now, we turned off all that paid membership, all the support we were getting, because people were getting something for their money. We don't just like ask for money for nothing. We decided to move all of that for anybody who was interested over to Patreon, where we do different things. It's not a forum. We're not there talking about DS or BDSM. But we do give you sneak peeks into things like a new thing that John Brownstone just made in the Kinky Woodshop that I can't wait for you to be. He can't promote it right now. It was a special order or request, and it's a gift for somebody we know on the internet. So he could not post it publicly.
No.
So once he can post it publicly, then I think y'all are going to be blown away. But if you want to see these things first and help make them happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when somebody's our patron. You help us do this stuff that we do for as low as $1 a month. Truly. I said this last week and I mean this. If every single person who listens to our show over the course of a month were to pledge just $1, Vanilla writing be done. I could tell those people that it's been so nice working with you. I'm going to go write about sex now.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Love you, mean it. Bye. Gotta go. I'm going to write me some sex stuff and kink stuff. I'm going to make more podcasts. I'm going to make more videos. I'm going to buy good equipment so the videos look good. Mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff.
So it doesn't matter what time of day we record.
I know. It'd be my job to record podcasts. And then all the ideas we had January 2018, January of this year. All the goals we were going to do for this year, we can actually do them.
Yeah.
So that's what your pledge does. And it's a monthly thing. You set an amount, you set your payment option, and it charges you regularly until you decide to stop it. And you can stop it whenever you want. But at $1, you get access to all the things we do. So that's 3 podcast episodes, very short ones, not crazy long ones like the Loving BDSM ones are. 2 are of me reading blog posts from my archive at KaylaLords.com of 1,800 plus pieces of content. Nobody's going to go back and read all that. And I'm picking specific ones. It's not just like random ones. They're either about BDSM or DS or sex or erotica or whatever. And then we do a bonus section once a month to talk about what we're working on. So it's all the behind the scenes stuff of what he's doing in the shop. The topics, hopefully, if we ever get our crap together, of upcoming episodes and like all that kind of stuff. So that's what it is. If you would like to be a kinky patron of ours, it's patreon.com/KaylaLords, or just look for the link in the show notes. If you're on YouTube, the link to Patreon is in the description below. You can get to it. And I'm done talking about all that. I don't like to do all the promo off-topic stuff because I feel like we annoy the hell out of people when we do that. But I do it anyway because things are important. And I finally did realize that if we don't talk about these things, ain't nobody going to support us because they don't know it. So that's that. Patreon, awesome. YouTube, that would be great. We are growing in our subscribers, but we're not actually actively doing much to do it. So thank y'all if you have subscribed and we haven't done shit for it. It's great. It's sort of like the podcast. We just like turn on a mic and start talking.
Start talking, and
people go, "What are those weird people doing over there?"
On with the show.
I know. So the blog post that accompanies this week's episode is actually sort of a starting point blog post, meaning from that blog post, I see at least 4 or 5 other podcast topics. And only one of them this week is on service submission.
Correct.
So some people tend to think of service submissives when you think of them as a separate title, as the people who cook or clean or do domestic servitude in a DS relationship, and that is all they do. And that is one way of service submission. But the thing I kind of want to set, the kind of the tone I want us to set from the very, very beginning of this is there is no single way to do any form of submission. But in this specific episode, we're talking about service submission. There is no right or wrong way.
No.
It's, in my case, and in many people's situations that I know, it's a part of our submission. So there are other aspects. In my case, I'm service submissive. I'm a sexual submissive. I'm a baby girl, so I'm on the little spectrum. I can be a smart ass masochist from time to time.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
You don't have to be so enthusiastic about that. I have unintentional brat tendencies. I'm not trying to be bratty when it happens, but it does happen. So there's a lot of pieces and parts of my own submission.
Correct.
So I know that that's true for other people. So I don't want to talk in absolutes, even though I might accidentally, when it comes to service submissives. I don't want it to be all service submissives do this or do that. That is not at all true. I'm going to be pulling primarily from my personal experience, which will be different from other people's. But this is my experience. And I did have an aha moment earlier this week. And that's what started this topic.
That's what sparked all this.
That's why we decided to talk about it. Because it wasn't just a, oh, yeah, that's right. It was a, oh, this is amazing. And I love this feeling. And let's have this feeling more often. And I think anytime we can especially if you've gone through maybe a slump or you haven't been in a relationship and you're, you know, kind of getting back out there and trying to find a partner, or you're in a relationship, but it's not been as kinky and DS-y as you would like it to be. If you can get in touch with those bits and pieces of your submission, speaking from the submissive's perspective, you can have those kind of happy moments of, oh, that's what this feels like. Yes, I want more of that. And then it helps you kind of kickstart things again. So we've talked for a long time now about, we had to renegotiate. We still need to. We haven't quite done it.
We're
working on it. But we need to renegotiate our DS now that we both work from home, because things are just different than when we worked in an office.
Right.
We've also had to navigate around my health issues. We've had to navigate around my mental health issues. We've had to navigate around work. So there's a lot going on. But what happened this week put me back in touch with something that's been a part of who I am for a very long time. And there are a lot of reasons for that. And I'm working on some of those reasons in therapy, quite frankly. My therapist was very proud of me this week. He told me I made great progress, and I didn't have to cry to get into that. I didn't have to have like this major breakthrough of a realization about what was going on for him to go, oh, yeah, look at you made progress. It's like, oh, thanks. Cool. So some of those things for me that are about service submission may not apply to anybody else. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to tell you what service submission is in for you. This is mostly what it is for me. But let's start with, I did a really brief definition in the blog post, but let's start with what the hell it is. To me, the most basic definition is being of service to your dominant in whatever way they want you to be. Mm-hmm. Now, as a submissive, you can certainly have preferences. So some service submissives, it's very domestic. They clean, they cook, they do chores around the house. And some, it's other areas of things that they're good at. You know, maybe they do clerical work and administrative work and office work.
One thing that comes to mind that's actually fairly popular as far as service is boot blacking.
Right, exactly. Cigar service.
Cigar service. Coffee service.
I think that's not a thing. We'll make it a thing. I'm sure it's a thing. Everything is a thing in kink and BDSM. We did not invent coffee service, but we're going to own it because...
it's our love language.
That seems on brand. Yeah. Coffee. As we are drinking our iced coffee late at night, mine is caramel, yours is mocha. Mm-hmm. Life is good. But so service submissives, I hate to use the word in the definition, they serve their dominant or their top, depending on the dynamic you have. And it tends to be very unique to the dynamic. So what does your dominant want you to do for them? And what is within your limits and isn't a hard limit? But I've also noticed it's got to fit your personality. So there are things John Brownstone could ask me to do. And if it's a one-off, okay, I'll do that because he asked me to, because I like to be of service and I like to do things for John Brownstone. But if he ever said, okay, as part of your submission to me, you are now going to go outside and mow the lawn. We don't have a lawn, but using it as an example, you're going to mow the lawn every week. I'd be like, I'm so sorry.
That ain't happening.
That would hit one of my limits. It wouldn't, because this
nature and power tools.
Oh,
and
God,
you
I
do
cut
not.
My foot off with a power tool. Don't give me a power tool. Oh, no. I would hurt myself. But so part of it is knowing
I wouldn't want a good power tool damaged.
Hey, that's fine if my wife has less limbs than she started with. Like, don't fuck with my power tools. That's the lesson I got there. Anybody else? Did anybody else hear something? Because that's what I heard. So it is about what the dominant wants. And in some cases, depending on your dynamic and how maybe high protocol or other parts of your submissive nature, you probably are going to pick and choose a little bit. Some things aren't going to work for you. You're either not very good at them or you hate them. And so that might not fulfill you as a submissive. I know some submissives who do things they hate, because what allows them to overcome that hatred is that they know they're doing something for their dominant. We are not all wired that way. And I can do some small things that way, but not consistently. Mm-hmm. Me personally, no. If I don't get personal fulfillment out of it, it's going to be very hard to keep going. Now, there are things, making your coffee before an episode, that fulfills me because you tell me how good it is and I get to watch you drink it. getting your coffee pot ready in the morning does not fulfill me, but it does. It's not a drag either. It's a thing I do because I said I would do it and I don't think about it. So not for me, not every act of service, the actual act, has deep meaning. For some submissives, it does. It's what it's the actual thing they're doing that is part of what's meaningful to them.
Some of the things that you do for me have a lot of meaning for me. All right. Like one of the things I have her do, especially this time of the year, because it's so ungodly hot when I do work in the shop, I drink Gatorade by the gallon.
By the gallon. By the gallon.
And it's up to her to make sure that there is always a pitcher of Gatorade in the fridge for me.
But see, and I will tell you, that is one, especially once you get back out of the shop on a consistent basis and the heat. So for like part of June, he was barely out there, partly because of the heat, partly because of other things going on. So I got out of the habit of this, but we're in July now and it's freaking hot out there. And he's going out there in the garage in the heat, no AC, just a fan blowing. And so it becomes important to me for you to have your Gatorade too, because that's a way that I know that you are being taken care of. And that's my part in taking care of you. I think all submissives on some level, and it's going to vary from person to person and type of submissive to type of submissive, we all want to take care of our dominance in some way. We also want to be taken care of in some, on some level, but we want to serve you, submit to you. And sometimes it's not as clear cut. Service submission to me is the most clear cut of all the submissive types that I identify with. I know exactly what I'm providing to you. I know what I am giving you. I know what my submission does for you. It is, I am in service of you. Not just our relationship, not just the dynamic, not just the kink, but you as the dominant partner. And so that, for me, it's very clear. As you know, when I get in my baby girl mode, or when I get in other modes, when I'm a sexual submissive, I know what you're getting out of it because you enjoy being in control and you get that opportunity. And maybe we're playful or maybe we're sexual, but it is clear because I spend a lot of time thinking about it, but it's not always really clear in the moment because, like, in a sexual situation, some kinky fuckery, you're torturing me with air quotes in a way that feels good, even if it hurts a little bit. And it can seem, if I'm not being really introspective about it, it can seem like it's all because you are a sadist and that's what you get out of it. And it's a little bit of, well, what do I get out of it? Or it can go the opposite way and I'll be like, oh, I'm getting a dozen orgasms here. I don't care what he's getting out of it.
For me, as a sadist in that aspect, what I get out of it is your reactions.
Right, but it can get fuzzy to me of who's getting what out of this interaction.
Gotcha.
Service submission, is to me, it's very clear what the dominant gets. It's whatever that dominant wanted, and you agreed that you would do as their service submissive. But the thing that started this, so that all of that is a very broad overview and a not technical definition of service submission. Simply because it is so unique. Basically, you're serving your dominant in whatever way your dominant wants and that you consent to. So, like with everything else, submissives out there, if they ask you to do something that hits a hard limit of yours, even if you didn't know it was a hard limit until you heard it, you have to speak up and say, no, that's beyond what I'm willing to do. Maybe you find a compromise. Maybe you suggest something else you're willing to do, whatever. You find common ground, but you don't have to do something unless you consent to it. And that includes service submission. If you don't want to do it, the difference though is, in my mind, that's part of the negotiation. And yes, you can always, you know, we safe word in kinky fuckery in a scene. I'll safe word in real life. If I need to make it clear that I am serious, that this is not happening and I'm not just being playful or bratty or whatever, I'm going to pull out my safe word, not because I don't take it seriously, but because that is the cue that this isn't working and this isn't okay.
This is not the thing for her.
So if it feels funny to use your sexual safe word, come up with another one. You know, just a signal to your dominant that you're hitting a limit and this is really serious. You're not playing around. But you have every right at any point to say, no, I'm not doing that.
You can have a specific safe word in your relationship that goes beyond the safe word of a scene. if that safe word is uttered, that means all DS comes to a halt and it's time to have a conversation and renegotiate.
Right, exactly. And you know, if it's something you're constantly pulling out, then there needs to be a deeper, bigger conversation in your relationship. But if you're talking about proposing a new thing, or a thing you've been doing or you thought you could do and something has happened and now you're like, I can't. I have reasons. We'll talk about them. But here, I need you to know this is serious. But most of that is going to come in the beginning. It's going to come during your negotiation phase, which that's just the fancy word for communication. Y'all, you're going to talk about it. And you're going to say, yes, I'll do that. No, I don't like to do that. I'll do it if you'll teach me. I think I said that. Coffee. He wanted me to learn how to use the French press. I'm like, this is before I even had ever had a cup of coffee. I'm like, French press? And so he had to teach me how to use it. And he had to teach me how to make his coffee. And so, you know, some things made me nervous because I don't like to be bad at things. So that was part of our growth together. He taught me how to do things so that I did them the way he wanted me to.
Yeah.
But if he had said, like I said, if one of the things had been, I need you to go out and, you know, pull some weeds every week, or I need you to plant some flowers, and I've been like, I'm sorry, you found yourself the wrong person. This is not a strength of mine.
Although you've done some interesting things over the time we've been together. You've put up fencing with me.
With me. There's the key word.
Yeah. We laid a patio.
We did lay a patio. That was miserable. Go back in the archive episodes for that, because I bitched about that. But so whatever it is you're agreeing to do, at some point you have to agree to do it. You have to consent to do it. And yes, you are free to withdraw your consent at any point. I don't want anybody to ever think that they can't. However, in general, these are going to be things either that you agreed to do ahead of time, or your agreement with your dominant is, you tell me a thing to do for you and I will do it. But the understanding between both of you needs to be, if there's a reason I can't do it, we need to have this conversation and we need to talk about it. So my type of service submission is not activity based, in the sense that I don't get off on doing certain things. Like, I like making you a good cup of coffee because it's wonderful to me to watch you appreciate it, to know that I did it well, and that you will say to people, no, baby girl has to make my coffee because she's the only one who knows how to do it right. I take a lot of pride in that shit. Okay. I'm living for my good girls here. I want to hear some version of that as often as possible. But I also want to earn it. Like, it would bother me if you just sort of threw it out at random and didn't really mean it.
We go out to eat, and even when we go out to eat in the restaurant, she makes my coffee.
You know, I haven't done that the past few times. We're in an in-between phase on coffee right now.
We're in a coffee phase right now as far as eating out.
So, so for me, it has been very transactional, meaning this is probably the past 2 years. He will say, I have a set of tasks. I have to get the coffee ready at night, turn down the bed, you know, certain things, right? But in general, there's been a lot of, baby girl, I need you to do. And then he'll say, I have a task for you. And him telling me I have a task for you is code. And so my brain knows to switch. Oh, he's giving me something and I need to get this done. And in general, I think that will always work in our relationship to some
extent, yes.
But what's happened over the past couple of years, and especially the past year, as you've worked from home with me,
correct,
is that if you ask me to do something for you when I'm like neck deep in work, and I've written 1,000 words today, and I've got like another few thousand to write, I'm gonna come up snarling. There's nothing submissive about that moment
because you are in work mode at that point.
And so what I was finding over the past year-ish, maybe a little longer, I would do what you asked me to do because that was our agreement, because I'm your submissive. Right. But I was not in touch with the joy of doing anything. And let's be really clear, because I don't want to start any myths about service submissives. Sometimes, maybe even most of the time, we are happy to do stuff for our dominance. That's part of our kink. That's part of who we are as submissives. But the reality is sometimes we're going to think, but I just sat down. Or we're going to think, fuck, I don't want to get out of the bed before him. Like, we're going to have those moments because we're human. Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're few and far between. problem with me is that they were not few and far between. This became my new reality. I was doing what you asked me to do because that was the agreement that we made, and I didn't want to undo the agreement. Our DS is very important to me. I am submissive. I want to be a submissive. If even in a high stress moment, I told you, I just can't do this, that would make me feel good for probably about 10 minutes. And then I would not feel good anymore. Yeah. But the reality was, is that the transactional kind of thing where I didn't have a task beyond like the three or four things, I didn't have a task until you asked for it. True. And you gave me a timeline, but also tried to give me a little bit of freedom. So very rarely was it, I need this right now. It was by the end of today, by tomorrow, whatever. It felt like a burden. It felt almost intrusive. Ah. Like, I've got all these other things going on. Yeah. And so it was hard.
Because it's a unique situation, because it's not like you and I go off to work. We hop in our cars in the morning and go off to a job. And you spend your day at your job in an office, you know, doing what you would do. And then you come home and you put that behind you and put on a submissive hat.
Right. No.
Okay.
And
this is the two of us
constantly interacting
on a 24-hour basis.
Right. But not being, right? Not feeling very 24/7 DS. We are 24/7 DS. He is always daddy. He is always the dominant. There's never any question about that. But my feelings about it, and sometimes how we have to interact.
Now, one thing that I have learned over time, and I'm trying to do better with this as far as that goes, is, you know, I have my own work that I'm doing, whether I'm in the shop or I'm working on websites over here. But I am getting better at telling when she has come to a stopping point or a break point.
I'm no longer growling.
Yeah. or tapping your fingers.
I'm thinking. That's my thinking noise.
When you're tapping your fingers, I know that's a tell to do not disturb.
Yeah, there's.
But I have been getting better at picking up the tells of when you are at a stopping point.
Right.
Okay. And then I will come in and say, baby girl, I have a task for you. I need something done.
And here's the thing. Until we negotiate something different, that's how it's going to work. But that is not what fills me with joy. So let me get to the actual story. Oh, only 30 minutes in of this whole fucking episode. Of what brought us to this discussion point. Because what happened was I got in touch with the part, my true, to what I would say is my, quote, true service submissive nature. This is what, if I could pick a perfect life and only do what I wanted to do, as a service submissive, this was pure joy. And it came at random, and it reminded me a lot of things. So bear with me, y'all. I've already been rambly for this episode. We all know it. But I might ramble through this story too. So the other night, because my health has improved, I'm back to being able to do things I used to do. You see that in the video? You see the couch behind me? Podcast listeners, there's a couch behind me. That is where I like to park and either read or watch YouTube videos, or I do cross stitch, not actual embroidery, but it's in the embroidery family. Okay, so that's where I like to do that. But for a long time, I couldn't do that because I couldn't bend my neck down without causing severe pain.
Right.
And now I can, and it's wonderful. So the other night, I'm sitting on the couch and I'm doing my cross stitch for the first time in ages. And I look at the time and it's 9:45. And no, maybe it's 8:45. I don't know. It's time. And I look over at the recliner and there's a John Brownstone snoring. And he's not even reclined, y'all. He had just sat down and fell asleep. So I think, oh, poor thing. He's exhausted. It's going to be, when I wake him up, he needs to just go straight to bed. We need to make this easy. And I'm looking at the time and I'm looking at what I'm doing and I'm thinking of all the things I need to do. So I need to turn down the bed and I need to get the coffee pot ready. And to help him out, I want to lock the front door. That's not something I usually do, but I know it needs to be done.
Because I have a list of things I run through mentally at
you
night.
You do your nighttime routine, I do mine.
I make sure the front door is locked, I bump the air and
You have your thing. So I don't want to do all of those things because one of them is turn out the light. I would have left him in the dark. But I lock, I get, I'm thinking to myself, I want to do all these things. I want to lock the door, to bump the air. I want to do some of the things I can do. I want to do it for him before I wake him up. That way, when I wake him up, we can pretty much just go straight to bed and it's effortless for him. It is seamless.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. But I'm also looking at my thing. I'm stitching going, oh, I need to get to a stopping point. So I'm stitching faster. I'm looking at the clock. I'm staring at him. I'm starting to get stressed out because I'm like, I have a plan, but I'm not ready to implement the plan yet, but I have a plan. So I get through it. I stop what I'm doing. I put the plan in motion, y'all. I'm in the kitchen. I'm filling up the Keurig water tank thing. I'm getting the coffee pot ready. I'm washing his coffee mug from the day. I'm turning down the bed and doing this. And I'm doing it all. He's not budging. He is snoring.
I was down for the count.
I could have left him there all night, but I'm a nice person. I did not do that. And so I have it all set up, minus turning out lights. When I wake him up and he's groggy as he would be. And I kind of get, I'm like, okay, Daddy, we need to go to bed. And he kind of starts looking around. I'm like, no, I've done that. And I can name off all these things I've done without being asked. Get him into bed. We go through our nighttime routine. Mm-hmm. They were not real fierce spanks that night.
No, they weren't.
Very sleepy spanks. That was good for me. We get in bed, we chat for a few minutes, nothing mm-hmm. too long and drawn out, and then we're out. We're down for the count. Okay. Next morning, I wake up and I'm like, why do I feel so good? And I went to bed feeling really good too. I was like, mm-hmm. I wasn't energized and you can't sleep energized. I was the, oh God, life is so good. Life is perfect. What the fuck? Why is life perfect? And here's what I realized. That is the kind of service I love to give. And mm-hmm. here's the connection I made, because there was a time I wouldn't have thought of it as service. It is, but it isn't. Nobody's directing me. Guess what? That's what the fuck I like. Before I knew I was a submissive, long ago, one of my first decent jobs, and when I say decent, I mean non-retail, non-food service, like in an office where you could sit down. It was great. I was an administrative assistant, then got promoted. It was just a job title change to executive assistant for the CEO of this very small company. That was a toxic situation, but I got to do a job I ended up liking. And I loved being an assistant. I loved it because if you could be good as an assistant, you become needed. You become needed in a way that people don't expect that they're going to need you mm-hmm. because you're the one who knows where all the pencils are. You're the one who knows where that piece of mail that person, your boss hasn't thought of in 3 weeks is because you knew it was important and held on to it. You're the one who knows where this thing is. You're the one who knows what time that meeting starts. Like, you become really important. And I'm not going to lie to y'all. I like that. I like being needed and I like feeling, I don't like being special. And I hope I don't come across as narcissistic because God knows I'm not, but I like feeling important. I mean, you know, it was mm-hmm. like, I'm providing something for him. Now, yeah. Y'all, I didn't know nothing about submission at this point. I didn't know what BDSM hardly was. I thought it was all leather and latex and whips and chains. And I just was like, ooh, that's not my thing. Didn't identify as kinky at all. Was in a bad marriage. Wasn't having any sex. Like, none of this is sexual to me. But I look back on that job and that mm-hmm. was me at my most service oriented. Now, it was a submission that we would never classify as healthy, and it certainly wasn't DS kind of submission. He was a toxic boss, but I got to a point where I could anticipate what he needed. I could anticipate what would make his life easier, right? Like, oh, he's going to need this report, even though he hasn't asked for it yet. I know he's going to need it because I know what happens in that meeting. He's going to need me to make this phone call to get this set up. He hasn't even asked for it yet. So I ended up looking like, sometimes you look like a superhero when you do this. And I like that feeling. But what I loved about it was I was doing something in service of him. I was making his life easier. God, all of this sounds very much like submission to me. And that's a little weird. But he wasn't asking for it. He didn't have to ask for it. I could anticipate what he needed because I knew the situation. Like, I got to be in these meetings. I paid attention. I used my skills that I just have developed over time, observation skills, listening skills, memory, retention, all that stuff. My organizational, like, I put every skill I had into use in order to be of service so that he needed me. Now, that's just some other probably toxic things too. I'm not going to talk about that. That's a whole other episode I can do on that situation. But it made me feel fulfilled, which part of my job was also answering the front desk phones. That job did not make me feel fulfilled. Mm. I had to deal with people way too much. My personality was very exhausted by that. But when he had me working in my role as an executive assistant, oh, I was all about that. And what happened the other night when I was running around doing my stuff, John Brownstone stuff, and I was doing it without being asked, I was doing it without anybody standing over me, I was doing it without anybody waiting on me to do it, I was just doing it because it needed to be done on my time, on my schedule, knowing what the deadline was, essentially. It was an amazing feeling because what I need as a submissive, it's why I think I don't think all slaves are like this, but I know some slaves are. I need full autonomy. Like, I want to go ask you for permission, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know for a thing, like whatever we've agreed that I will get permission for.
Right.
I want you to guide and direct on things we have consented to. And I want to do what you expect me to do,
mm-hmm.
okay? All of those things. I want, what does he want that makes his life easier? What does he want because it just tickles him that I'm the one that does it, mm-hmm. right? What does he want me to do because I do it better? All of that. I want all of that. What I don't want is somebody standing over me while I do it. What I want is full autonomy and independence. Yeah. And it's a layer of independence. It's not total independence or I wouldn't be a submissive.
True. And what you did for me the other night from my perspective, now at the time, It didn't hit right away.
And I wouldn't have expected it to.
You know, what happened is normally when if I fall asleep in a chair on the sofa like that, I'll wake up and I need to wake up because I need to go through and make sure the house is secure. Bump down the air so we're comfortable, you know, do the lights, do all the things that I do before I go to bed. And when I wake up like that to do those things, what ends up happening is I lose my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
We go to bed, and by that time I'm wide awake from doing all my things, and I'm just sitting there staring at the ceiling.
Or you're talking to your baby girl because that's amazing.
Or I'm doing
intimacy.
That. Or I'm doing
not
that.
Just because I'm...
But what she did for me the other night, what made me so grateful for that was when she woke me up to get me off of the chair, I didn't have to go through any of those things. We went to bed. Yes, we kind of talked a little bit, but for me, it was just like a very sleepy, groggy kind of talk. And then I was able to go right to sleep. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, you know, when it hit me, what you did and what it did for me, right, I was very grateful for that.
And you know, it's funny, I thought in terms of let's make it easier
mm-hmm.
for him to go to bed,
yeah.
but I didn't think of it in those terms of like how it would affect you. This is where I can be kind of selfish about these things. I was like, this makes me feel good. And it, on some vague level, helps.
And it did.
I wouldn't be as fulfilling to me if it didn't. I have to, it for me, I have to feel as if I am useful. I have to feel as if I am needed. Now, the other part to that, and it did not bother me at all that it didn't happen that night because you were tired. It was totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Is it would, for me at least, it does not work without some amount of gratitude, appreciation, and acknowledgement. We talked
mm-hmm.
about that in past episodes.
Right.
Attitude of gratitude is what I think I called it. I will link to that in the show notes. I'm going to make a note on my notes.
Because that is important.
But yeah, if I was doing it, and that was where my relationship with my boss at the job, where I learned this about myself, because I didn't know this about myself at first.
At the time.
And I didn't make the connection with submission until literally a week before we started recording this. sometimes I'm slow on the uptake. Okay. It takes me a minute. You know, that my boss did not show appreciation as often in the beginning he did. And then as the situation and the job got more toxic and it wasn't me.
As
time went on, he started to take it for granted and he started to expect it. And he actually got really critical of things that there's no way I could have anticipated, but because he got so used to me anticipating other things, he was like, well, what about this? And why? And it was really bad. I actually got a promotion out of that job. Thank God. Unfortunately, he still had me doing those kind of tasks for a long time after, because to brag on myself, he could not find anybody who did it like I did it.
Imagine
and
that.
I know. I'm like, oh, you're going to have to find yourself somebody who's much more anal retentive type A and really, really anxious all the time. Because a lot of that is, for him, it was driven by anxiety. I wanted him to like me. I wanted to be considered qualified for this job. I didn't feel qualified to be somebody's assistant. I'd never done that before. And so there was a lot of nervousness that went into it. And I don't, you know, we've had to do that sort of transactional based DS for a while because my head has been all over the place, you know, anxiety, being bipolar, like functioning through those things and learning how to function through those things. And then physical health, like
between your stomach, your
right.
Neck,
if I had placed,
all those things affected,
if I had placed on my own shoulders, this expectation that I needed to try to anticipate everything, not everything. I don't want it to sound like that's all I walk around doing. But big, you know, things that matter, that are part of our DS, that are part of the things he wants me to do, right? If I had had to try and walk around doing that and keeping that much mental energy going on top of all the other things, I couldn't have done it. It would have created more anxiety for me. And then I would have sort of rebelled against my own submission, because it would not be something that I'm sort of gladly doing with my whole heart. It would have become this weird obligation that would have felt to me very one-sided. Now, I think that, and this is where it's new territory for us, because I am like this. We were talking about this the other day in 2015 when your sister was sick and then died.
Yes.
We have talked in the past about how he couldn't quite be his normal dominant self. He just didn't have the mental space or the energy for that. Especially right in the thick of all that, when she went downhill really fast and then when she died. And so I stopped asking for permission for things what do you want me to do kind of stuff, because I knew he couldn't handle it. But what I did do, and I didn't really think about it, because I thought of it in terms of I'm helping John Brownstone, the man, as he's dealing with the death of his sister. Right. I did not think of it in terms of I'm a submissive helping my dominant, but it was essentially
it
the
was
same
essentially
thing.
The same, yeah.
I started doing all that anticipatory kind of work. I would look around and go, what does he need and what can I do to make his life easier? And I would start, you know, I would put his coffee cup in a certain spot, or I would do this, or I would lay his clothes out, because this is when you still had a regular day job. Mm-hmm. Or I would offer to go do this thing that you would normally do. Like, that's how I did it, you know? But I didn't think of it in terms of DS, but it was absolutely a part of my submission, because, you know, I think most of us are capable of doing it for people who need it in a very short amount of time, you know, in a very situational thing. You can kind of go, how can I help this person who's maybe been sick, or maybe they've got something tough going on in their life? But for me, it's a natural part of who I am. I do it for people who I believe have authority over me that I want to help. And in this case, I'm helping my dominant, I'm helping my partner. I'm, you know, at the time we weren't married, you know, but that was part of being in this relationship with you.
Right.
I do tend to do it with people that I deem to have authority over me. Very few people these days have authority over me. Really, his name is John Brownstone. My mother can also kind of accidentally get away with
that. Well, it is mom.
She's my mom. Yeah. But I do it for her too. I don't know if you noticed, we are at her house for the week. She's not used to having anybody help her at the grocery store or in the kitchen.
No.
My stepdad is a lot of things, but thinking of how he can make his wife's life better, not one of them. Not in those small details. So I spent the whole week going, here, I'll unload the groceries for you. Hey, you go do this. I'll put this stuff away. Or you catch, both of us would, because you're a good house guest, I'd be washing dishes for her, because she has to wash them every day. And she hand washes them by choice.
Right.
They have a dishwasher. So I did that for her to help her, because I love her and I care. And that's really the thing. It's not just about the authority, because I will do it for authority figures like my boss.
Mm-hmm.
When I love you and care about you, I want to take care of you.
Right.
And for me, that is performing acts of service, which is a love language, by the way, which we have done the episode on love languages too. But I couldn't do any of it on any level if you didn't let me know that you appreciate it. Now, I think there's, and that is something we did spend a lot of time in that one episode talking about, because there's this myth that DOMs don't say thank you. DOMs don't, you know, there's this other myth that submissives should just do it because they're submissive and they were told to do it.
No, and it's very, it is so important, Big D's, to acknowledge your submissive, especially service submissives, when they perform their tasks. Because what happens is, if they perform those tasks, all right, and they don't get any kind of acknowledgement, there's going to come a point where they're like, why am I doing this?
Right.
Okay. I mean, because it doesn't seem to be making him happy. He right. doesn't acknowledge.
So, I need to know he's happy with me. Right. I mean, ultimately, I am working for the good girls.
Yeah.
That is what I'm working for. That's what I need. Now, and I need some version of it.
There's another little caveat that I want to mention about this as well, that you kind of need to keep an eye on.
Uh-oh.
Kayla and I have both been walking. Okay.
At night. Almost every night.
She walks in the mornings, then she'll walk again in the evenings, and I walk with her mm-hmm. then. Now, doing this for several reasons. She's also part of a challenge with a group of people.
Mostly submissives, I think. Mostly or all?
Pretty much all. Yeah. And, there is also, as part of this, there's also some.
There's repercussions if I don't hit my goals.
If there is a step goal that everybody has to meet, and if they don't, there are repercussions.
There's spanks that aren't the fun kind of spanks.
No.
I don't want those kind of spanks. I will hobble my ass out there.
Yeah. you hear that? Mm-hmm. So what happened last week was, with her walking, her foot was bothering her.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Okay. And she wanted to keep walking because she wanted to make her steps, because she didn't want anybody to have any
exactly
any repercussions.
Anybody else to get in trouble because of me.
Okay. So I had to tell her to stand down.
Yeah. I didn't mind. Once I had his permission, I knew nobody was going to get in trouble, because I'd be like, my mom said I couldn't right. do it.
So, sometimes you have to be careful, because a service submissive, they are so wired to serve, there are times they may do so at the detriment of their own well-being.
God. Yeah, and we can burn ourselves out. Okay, yeah. So we need our dominant, whom we are serving, to be watching out for us. Mm-hmm. So I have been known to try and drag my ass out of bed with a sinus infection to mm-hmm. do a coffee pot, get the coffee ready. Mm-hmm. He's like, what are you doing? I have, when my neck was really, really bad, before I even started having injections or anything, I'm on all these pain medications. I'm like, I've got to do your coffee. He's like, no, you don't. You got to go from here to the bed.
That's
you're going from the couch
That's right.
to the bed. That's
so
your job today.
You have, it is so wonderful, and it is such an amazing experience when you have a service submissive that is taking care of you and doing the things to make you happy. But you have as a Big D, you have a responsibility to look out for their well-being.
Right.
That they don't serve to detriment of themselves.
We talk about sex, kinky fuckery and sex, we say don't break your toys. Well, this
right.
is not much different.
It's not.
If he were to let me go and do as much submission as I could possibly handle, especially if we get back into this groove of me getting to have some amount of autonomy and independence over how I get it done, when I get it done, all of that good stuff, because that does, I think, work best for me now that I'm mm-hmm. back sort of to
She's
normal.
Back.
Yeah, everybody should be careful. But if he doesn't watch out for me and make me stop when my head's not in the right space, when I'm
mm-hmm.
sick, when I'm in pain, whatever it might be, or if I just get myself stressed out, that is a downside to this kind of submission is that you can get truly stressed and anxious because you think you're not doing it right, that you're not doing it the way you want it to be, as perfect as you want it to be done. Like, you, I mean, some of us can be our own worst enemies here. And if he doesn't make me take care of myself or help me remember that my job is to take care of myself, then the outcome is the same. I can't take care of him.
Right.
Like, I have to remind myself, whoa, whoa, whoa. If I let myself get too sick, then I can't do anything for him. But if I take care of myself when I can, when I feel something coming on, I feel a little bit of pain or I feel a little sick, maybe I take some medicine, then that keeps me available to keep doing more things for him. But if I let like an illness go until I'm, you know, on 5 antibiotics and, you know, drugged up on the couch, well, I'm not doing anything for him. But if I just took some DayQuil and like did some basic
Bingo, you'd be back in normal.
Right. Then I can keep taking care of him. So it's on the dominant to do. It is on those submissive to be aware. It is difficult, I find, for newer submissives and submissives in new relationships because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We want to get this perfect. We want them to be happy with us. We don't want to look like we can't handle it. Like, there's all these things that run through our minds and it's unique to all of us. But we'll do that to ourselves and say, oh no, I can't. If I don't do this thing today because I'm sick, then, you know, fill in the blank with what you think might happen. But then it is absolutely on our dominance to go, you're sick. Stop. No, I don't need you to do this. I need to hear, even if I don't like hearing it, I need to hear, I don't want you to do that. I want you to lay on the couch, go to bed, whatever. And it is hard for me because especially if I'm in that mode of, this is my thing that I do for you. And if I don't get to do this for you, what is happening? And who am I? I can go into an existential crisis like that. Y'all, you got to watch me. It is true. But I, when he tells me, this is not what I want you to do, I want you to whatever that involves care. My little submissive brain goes, ooh, that's an order. That's a task. And I got to go do it. It's mental. It's all mind games. Right. But you know what? It works. Yeah. It works. So this is, I don't even know that I'm done, but I do want to kind of like, we've been really scattered. I've been really scattered. With service submission, we'll kind of bottom line it a little bit. We might keep going, but we'll bottom line it now. We think of it most commonly as specific types of service, a domestic service, cigar service, coffee service, right? Whatever. But for some of us, myself included, it's service in general. It's what do you need me to do within the things I can and am willing to do? You know, I mean, we do get limits. And I think service submissives forget that you get to have limits. There get to be things that you're like, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not going to make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because I'm allergic to nut peanuts and I could die, right? Like, you get to have things, even in service submission, that you go, nope, I can't do that. And maybe you give a reason, maybe you don't. And maybe you are afraid to do it and eventually you become more comfortable with it. That's no different than kinky fuckery. How many times have, especially newer submissives, gone, oh, that's a hard limit because we're terrified of it. And then we get into our kink a little bit and we go, nope. Totally try that because we've learned or we've grown or whatever's happened. So the same is true in service submission. I get kind of annoyed with people who think that, oh, service submission is always this one thing. I personally am proof that it is not the stereotype. Are there submissives who, what they want to do is vacuum for their dominant and they, and both partners are getting something out of it. Whether it's, you know, the vacuuming or watching them like parade around in a certain outfit while they vacuum or whatever it is. Yes, that totally, I don't even like to vacuum. I have a cleaning service for that. Red. See, that's how I do it. But, and that is true. And that is one way, but then some of us are just like, what do you want me to do? Just tell me what you want me to do. And I have found that my most comfortable type of submission with regards to service is tell me what you want done ultimately and then kind of step back and give me the freedom to do it.
Right.
Because of the way I operate, oh, it's going to be done on the deadline. If the deadline is bedtime and you say, oh, and 15 minutes are going to bed, I might jump up. But if I know that our typical schedule is at 10, we're going to go lay down. Why am I having done at 9:30 that night? I haven't done at 8. You never know. Depends on what's going on. But I can sort of judge for myself what needs to be done, what else I can do, and how can I make your life easy? And there's a freedom in that to me, mm-hmm. that lets me use my best judgment and isn't just this is one very narrow thing I want you to do right now. Okay, you've done that. Here's the second very narrow thing I want you to do right now. And that has worked kind of in the past. And I think maybe my, I don't want to say discomfort or dislike, but it hasn't fulfilled me. I'll tell you that. Has been as I've come out of the health issues. So there was a time, and I will say, mental and physical health issues can change this all up for you.
Yes.
When my anxiety was at a peak several months ago, what I needed, like in the middle of an anxiety attack or like a really anxious moment and the thoughts are swirling, you can't tell me anything. Like I'm not even functioning at that point very well. But when my anxiety is manageable, but there, what I desperately need is for him to tell me, like, don't give me a choice. Tell me what to do, because my mind can't handle choices at that point.
I can't,
because I don't know what's right. My anxiety for me means that every decision I have to make, I'm going to question so hard that I can't mm-hmm. make a decision. So in those cases, if you want me to do something for you, I need you to be very exact.
I have to be very specific at those times.
Right.
Yes.
And that's when that method has worked for us. But as I have sort of come out of some of that, and the worst of a lot of that, and a lot of improvement, to the point that my therapist, I think I said this a little while ago, I don't know, I'm repeating myself now. He's very proud of me. But now I'm at a point where I'm like, that doesn't work for me in this moment. Now for poor John Brownstone, if my brain goes off again tomorrow, he's not the poor thing. If I can't communicate that I need you to tell me what to do, I'm having a moment, you know, my anxiety's high. I do have to be able to communicate that, because he's not going to know.
No.
If we switch up what works for me in a way that still works for him, because ultimately that's my goal. I have to be able to say, this is a day my anxiety is too high. Just tell me what you want me to do. Don't give me decisions. Mm-hmm. Don't give me you can do this or that. Don't give me options. Tell me exactly what you want me to do.
Right.
Because I can fuck it up less if I know exactly what it is, but choices don't work right now. So there does have to be a level of communication, but I do think that service submission, just like every other form of submission, can shift and change over time. And maybe it should, because our lives change and our preferences change, and what works for us at, you know, 30 with a toddler will work for us different at 45 with a teenager. You know what I mean? Like our lives change.
Shifts.
Right. And so then the rest of it kind of needs to shift too, to fit that. So right now we're in a shift with my service submission of in the beginning, I just knew what I needed to do and I got it done. And then I had the freedom to anticipate and to take care of and to look at all these details. And I had the mental energy and mental space to do it. And then when I didn't, it was, tell me what you want me to do, and that's what I'll do. And now we've gotten into that habit, and I am mentally kind of pushing against that, because it doesn't fit right. It doesn't sit well with me. I'm like, don't stand over me while I do it. I like to work alone. So now we're shifting back again, but it's in this shift and it's in finding that joy. I will be very honest with you, I had not felt pure joy at doing things I'm supposed to do for John Brownstone in a long time. And there's a lot of things that go into that. It's not about our relationship or about my submission. It was my mental health. It was my physical health. It was money. It was there are all these different things.
A lot of different factors. It was work, dealing with clients.
All that stuff. But that moment brought me back to what I love about submission the most, which is being needed, being useful, being helpful, and be totally honest, looking like a freaking rock star when I do it. Because, and other people who are like this will understand what I mean. When people who are off doing their own thing and they're not paying attention to the details like you are, they're like, how did this happen? It's like magic to them. And I'm thinking, nah, you just like need a piece of paper and a pencil and you can keep track of these things too. But it's a skills other people don't have. Right. And so when you use that on your dominance behalf, you look like you're doing magic. And I'm like, yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm doing magic for you. Just tell me the words I want to hear. Just call me good girl or say, you know, that I did a good job or whatever. And then I'm good, you know. Mm-hmm. That's my reward at the end of it. And, you know, yeah, I know there's that thought we said earlier, just be fulfilled by your submission. And sometimes I am. Mm. That night, I was. It was all yes, I needed. Was. I was so happy. But sometimes I need a good
she
girl.
She was a baby. Girl. She was a baby girl on cloud nine that night.
I know. I was very proud of myself. I was so proud of myself. Mm-hmm. So service submission is so many things. And that, y'all, I can only really give you a clear picture of my experience. And I know it's different for other people. I know it is because we all, you know, we haven't talked about these very specific labels individually, partly because it is hard to do because we are all unique. And I know there are service submissives out there who are like, nope, I only do this and I only do it this way. And this is, you know, I have a very, with that mm-hmm. dominant, this is how I do it.
Right.
But for me, it's more fluid.
And then there are others who want to be micromanaged.
Right, exactly.
There are some submissives who thrive on that, need that.
And I am just not one of them.
No, you're not.
And it's that simple. But I am really happy that I feel like we're getting back to, I was telling my therapist this today, I said, this is the first time in a long time I have felt like me again. And that's what started this whole journey into dealing mm-hmm. with my health. I just wanted to feel like myself again. And myself is pretty fucking talkative and pretty loud. Not that, and I know longtime listeners are like, bitch, you've been talkative and loud for nearly 3 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But some of that was kind of all of my energy would go into creating an episode. And then I'd be drained afterwards because it took all my energy to give you that. Now I'm like, I'm walking around like this, like, let's mm-hmm. go.
Yep.
Could you imagine how many podcasts I could create with this amount of kinetic energy?
Oh my God. I'd need a bank of external drives to store all this stuff. And
yeah, I'm sure we can make that happen. if I get enough kinky patrons, we will. So that's from my perspective, service submission. I would love to hear from other people who are service submissives, whether you only identify as a service submissive, and some mm-hmm. people do, that's all they are, that's all they want to be,
right.
Or you're somebody like me who's like, no, I got so many layers, I got so many other parts, like, I don't even want to say layers, I would call them like filing cabinets, like there's the baby girl filing cabinet, and there's the kinky fuckery one, and there's the service one,
mm-hmm. there's a primal one.
There's a primal one. Oh yeah. And I was looking at, and I don't want to talk about it because I feel like I have zero knowledge, but there's alpha subs.
Yes.
And I, in a situation, if there were multiple submissives, I know I would be an alpha sub. I know I would be alpha sub. There's no doubt. So.
Okay.
I think that's it.
And just real quick, you know, mm-hmm. Big D's, you know, when you have your submissive that's a service submissive, you know, acknowledge and give them gratitude. You know, accept the responsibility of the power that you have, mm-hmm. and do not let them serve themselves into detriment. You know, be watchful of what you have.
And if you're a submissive who feels like your dominant is taking you for granted, and they haven't said thank you in ages, and they're like, oh, you've got the flu, I hope you can make my coffee. It's time for conversation. Because it's not that it's, you know, that you can't come back from that, and you can't fix things. But you're, in my opinion, it's just mine, you're being taken for granted. They're either enjoying what they're getting from you, or they're so used to it that it's not even a joyful thing anymore. It's mm-hmm. This is just what you do. And that's who you are. And yes, those things may be true, but there is another side and there is a responsibility on the part of your dom who gets the benefit of your service.
Mm-hmm.
They then have a responsibility to you as well. So,
all right. Are we good?
So. Yes, and we are. We always do a bonus section, but we're gonna do a bonus section.
Yes.
And we did check our mailbox after last episode, so we've got our mail. And who knows what else will be discussed? I have no clue. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we good?
I think so.
All right.
I think so.
Okay. Uh-huh. So let's.
Okay. Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week. I know you don't want me to talk when you're writing down the time, but now I have a camera on us, and it's weird to sit here in silence.
You think?
It's very weird to sit here in silence. For both the crickets on the podcast,
yes,
and anybody who's like, oh yeah, I've been here for an hour watching this video, we'll just keep fucking going. Can we please start?
Yes, okay, baby girl, let's go ahead.
So, we did.
Yeah, we got.
So, in the last episode... if you heard, we knew we had a yellow slip that told us we had a box.
Yes.
We went right after we finished recording, we went and checked our box. And as of the moment we're recording this, I have not put it up on Instagram, but by the time the show goes live on Friday, July 13th,
it will be.
The picture will be up. So podcast listeners, you will, if you go to our Instagram,
yeah,
that handle I hate, DS and the number one, DS one on Instagram, you will see this. But our friend and erotic author, amazing erotic author, Oleander Plume, she said to me, I will send you, I've got the ebook of her latest book, Horatio Slice, Guitar Slayer of the Universe. She said, I'll send you up an actual physical copy. And I said, oh, that'll be great, because I've read the ebook and loved it, but Jumper Austin hasn't read it yet, and I know he'll love this. Well,
and I've read snippets of it, and I really enjoyed the snippets I've read. And
it's mostly gay erotica, but there are women and there are alien species, so there are whatever those genders might be as well. But it is mostly gay erotica. Oh God, it's so good. Everybody's so hot, and everybody's orgasming left and right, and oh, it's so good. But Horatio Slice, her main character, even has his own Twitter as well.
Yes.
I'm going to show it to the camera for you two.
Guitar Slayer of the Universe.
Yes. There's, oh God, it's so hot. It is so hot. So there's that one. And but then I thought, oh, okay, she's sending us Horatio Slice. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. No, she sent other books. And they are books that she has stories in. They're anthologies. One is Begging for It, Erotic Fantasies for Women. Trying to show that to the camera. Getting a little bit of glare. Okay. And then the other one is Bondage Bites, 69 super short stories.
69.
Of course, of love, lust, and BDSM. And I have had no time to read, but I love. Do you know, I have to confession. It's not a confession. There's not a secret, but it is not something I've ever talked about. Or not much anyway. So at the end of my first marriage, especially when we were trying to get pregnant with my youngest, I was trying to find ways to be more into sex than I had been. Because when you don't like somebody, it's hard to have sex with them. And so I discovered very late into my marriage, I was kind of pissed off. Like, why didn't I figure this out? Was a thing before. I discovered erotica. And I didn't have an e-reader, and e-books were a thing, but kind of barely. And it wasn't something I could go to the library and go, so 80-year-old librarian by the desk, got any sex stories? I'd mostly been rereading old romance novels from like the 80s and 90s that I had read as a kid, which my mother is still mortified by, but whatever. those are like brain candy for me. Like I read them and I can read a 400-page novel in like an hour and a half and get all the good feels and I'm done. But they weren't quite enough anymore. I was really tired of the creamy loins, you know, it was like in her bosom. I was like, no, I need something different than this. So I was at a bookstore by myself. Oh yeah, I need something with some oomph. And I found an anthology of stories where the females were all submissive, did not know what I had. and got through about 6 months of sex with my husband. But foreplay was, I would tell him he had to leave me alone in the bedroom. I was going to read at least a chapter, or there was a story. They were all anthologies. Mm-hmm. I was going to read at least a story. I would let him know when he could come in.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, God, it was so unhealthy.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
I can't blame him for everything wrong in our marriage. I played my part. Had no communication, sexual, any kind of skills whatsoever at that point. But reading them, I would get aroused. And then sex was easier because I also didn't know about lube at the time, which is so sad.
What was that?
You would like me to say the word for our audio listeners who love it? I did not know about lube.
Okay, thank you.
I do now, and we have a drawer full of it.
Yes, we do.
But at the time, I didn't. So I was like, oh, well, this will get me worked up, and you don't have to touch me. That is so unhealthy. That is so unhealthy. I'm not proud of that. But that was my first taste of erotica, and they were all short stories, and they were all kinky, even if I didn't understand this one. I think the title of the book was like, Yes, Sir, or something. I don't know. And I still didn't make the connection between what this was. And I wasn't comfortable enough to be curious enough to go figure out what the hell it was I was reading. I was like, this shit turns me on. Now I can have some sex. And I don't read that stuff very often anymore. I did for a while, like after the divorce and early in our relationship. But now I just don't read as much as I used to, which is kind of sad because I love to read. And I think it might have been Horatio Slice, but it was something else I was reading. And I don't usually read in bed, but I was for a while there.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, you're going to want to capitalize on this? I just finished reading this.
I don't remember the title, but it was Werewolf, wasn't it?
Yes, I think it was. Oh, yeah. Shifter Erotica. I did not know that was a thing until 3 or 4 years ago. And I love me some Shifter Erotica. Vampire Erotica. I love Supernatural and Paranormal Erotica. I just do.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get into the dinosaur erotica that is out there. I try. It's not quite my thing. But give me some vampires and some werewolves and I'm there. I'm so there. And just wolves. Anything primal. Like they're all the animal instincts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, baby, give it to me.
That hunter hunted.
Oh, yeah, that turns me on.
Yeah.
So I think I've worked myself up just talking about erotica. But that was our mail. And we did have a card in our box. And this one is hilarious. It's just the front. It is a squirrel in the therapy couch with the therapist taking notes, listening very intently. And the squirrel says, when I learned you are what you eat, I realized I was nuts. That felt so accurate. That felt so accurate.
Show it to the
camera. So if you are a podcast listener and you're like, I want to see it, we will have a picture on Instagram, but feel free to go check out the YouTube video. It is something we're trying. Hopefully by trying to do two mediums at once, we don't take away from one or the other. It's weird to me to do this, but it feels right.
Yeah,
we'll see. But we got that, and I'm actually kind of going, well, when can I read these short stories? Because I've read Horatio Slice, and I know who needs to read it, and his name is John Brownstone. But I can read those anthologies, and I'm telling you, a couple of chapters, and I'll be like, we don't need lube tonight. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for you.
Goodness.
We need
to end this and go to bed.
Okay. Reading has pretty much always done that to me. Yeah. I mean, I was so sheltered and so just not in the right mental space to ever follow down the paths I was putting myself on. But I really was reading romance novels at age 8, like sexual romance novels. And my mother told me at the time I wasn't allowed to do it. So, of course, I did it. And then when I confessed to her at age 30-something that I had done it, she was like, And what is funny is when you read those things from the time I was 8 till, God, probably 32, maybe a little younger, people kept saying, well, you shouldn't read those. They're going to give you the wrong perception of what sex is like. And I did kind of have that moment in my first marriage of, oh, it's not like the novel I've been reading all this time. But you know what? When you're in a good relationship and you're sexually compatible and you're mm-hmm. whatever, you know what? It is like those romance novels. It's better because my loins are not creamy.
But they're just fine for me.
But the bosom heaves for sure. I don't pop buttons when I do it. But it, even though I hate role play, we know how I feel about role play. It is why I do in my head where I am alone in there. Thank you very much. I do have very, very sort of intricate fantasies of being kidnapped. Of pirates or of ravishment, quite frankly. For me, that could only be in a consensual situation, a consensual non-consent, maybe. Like, that's a little too close to role play, though. I'd have to be that person who's surprised, and then I'm afraid my anxiety would kick in, and that would kill them. it needs to all stay in my head. That's why I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. Actually experience these things for real. So do you have anything you'd like to talk about now that I've sucked up all the oxygen and used
do
up
we
all
have
the time?
Any goodness.
We have no time.
No, we don't.
But that's okay. Some of the stuff you've been working on is really for the Patreon bonus section because it's work stuff.
Yeah.
But you did make a very nice thing and I cannot wait for you to be able to show it off publicly.
I know. And I really enjoyed making that, and if you are one of our patrons, you know what it is, and I really enjoyed making that.
Mm-hmm.
I had fun making it.
And the cool thing is when you make another one mm-hmm. that's different from the one that was bought as a gift, a special mm-hmm. order gift,
right.
Then you can pop that picture out and go, how can I make it now?
Exactly.
So yeah, we're not gonna keep it a secret, y'all.
It was a fun challenge, is how I looked at it.
Yeah.
When I did it, and I am amazed at how this came out. The finish that I put on it is just incredible.
Yes. So the hint I will give everybody is that it is an insertable product. It has to go into the body to be used, and so yeah, you had to take really great care with how you finished it.
And what finish I used.
Right,
yes.
So it was sealed and it was body safe.
Correct.
That's what mattered.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and there's all kinds of ideas for more
mm-hmm.
Like it in the future. But no, and the only reason we're not trying to like force everybody to Patreon to find out, we really cannot put it out right now because it is about to be mailed away to be a gift of somebody who is also very active online.
Right.
So we can't, we're not putting that picture out.
Both parties, the giver and the receiver.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we are doing that purposely, but not to be a tease to you guys.
As soon as
more get made that are different from that mm-hmm. one, we'll share those publicly everywhere too.
Yeah.
So yeah, not to be a cock tease, I guess. I don't know if that's a acceptable term to mm-hmm. use, but that was the one that came to mind.
So but yeah, I mean that's what I've been doing. I have been enjoying the hell out of my new lathe.
Yeah.
That has just been
the first day you played with it. I shouldn't say played with it. It's a tool. He worked with it. Played with it, y'all. He totally played with it. You were out there way longer than you should have been. You made yourself sick from the heat.
From the heat.
Because you're so excited to be out there mm-hmm. on it. Which is really cool to that you've got that. I am very happy for you.
Yeah.
But I am also like, you need to come in from the heat. You're going to make yourself sick.
Make sure you have Gatorade.
I know. Yeah, that's my job. I'm Gatorade girl.
Tomorrow.
For your birthday, because we were recording the day before your
birthday.
Right.
So I have the day off.
Right. July 12th, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
July 12th. So you won't hear any of this till after his birthday, but really post-birthday shout-outs are perfectly acceptable,
yeah.
I think.
But I'm looking forward to a nice, quiet day. And I am definitely going for my super mega coffee.
From Starbucks.
From Starbucks. And one of the other things I'm looking forward to, I told Kayla about it tonight. I said, you know, I think I'm really Because I haven't done this in a little while. Most of you know I do enjoy a cigar now and again. And I'm like, I might go to the cigar bar tomorrow and just kick back in the AC and
And I don't blame you.
Have a cigar.
And I'm going to take you for a steak dinner tomorrow night. Yeah. And you requested a cupcake.
Cupcake.
And so I got a special one.
So, yeah, she asked me what kind of cake I wanted, and I thought long and hard about it.
Long and hard.
Yeah. Snarky.
We're children.
But let me just explain that when back, this really for me kind of started back in February when we did the photo fest.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
That was on our blogs.
On our blogs, we did the February Photo Fest with Molly, who hosted it. And while I liked the pictures that Kayla took of me, they were posed pictures.
Yes. And to get just the right angle.
To get just the right angle. But I was not happy with what I saw.
Same.
Okay.
Same.
And then a little later down the road, I took a selfie that I was intending to submit to a meme on Tumblr called Working Man Wednesday.
Mm.
And after I set the camera to auto, I was taking the pictures, and later when I looked at the photos, I was literally appalled at what I saw. And at that time, Kayla was researching the ketogenic diet.
Mm-hmm.
And by proxy, I was intrigued.
Well, because I was listening to YouTube videos all the time, and I was reading these book, and I kept saying, listen to this, and then I would read a passage. So he was forced into being intrigued.
But it piqued my interest, and she started on it, and while I'm not full keto,
you eat way more carbs than ketogenic.
I have literally cut my carbs in half.
And I think really down to a third of what you used to do. You're much lower than you were.
Maybe I am that low, and the same thing with sugar. You know, we're talking about the change in my coffee. You know, yeah, tonight I had some cream in my coffee, but for the most part, I've been drinking my coffee black, no cream or sugar. And
I know, and that's very weird to me. It also makes preparing coffee very difficult.
She's having a really hard time accepting that from all the time she's known me.
Yep.
So, I have literally cut my carbs way, way down. My one weak point is still pasta.
Everybody gets to have their one thing, right?
And the sugar. And in the time I've been doing this, with the ketogenic and doing intermittent fasting, I have dropped about 18 pounds.
I bet if you weighed yourself, you're probably down to the 20-pound mark at this point. I
wouldn't
be surprised. So yeah, when I'm like, what do you want? What kind of cake do you want? He's like, I don't want cake.
So because if there's, you know, there's only four of us, and you know, she's not going to eat any of it, and yes, the boys would, but if it's there, I'm going to want it.
Yeah. And it's so, cake. How would you not want it?
So I told her for my birthday, instead of buying me a whole cake,
mm-hmm.
I will indulge because it is my birthday.
And you should.
But I just want a cupcake. Just a simple cupcake.
So I got him his very special cupcake, and then I got the boys like a thing of cupcakes from the grocery store bakery, and I let them pick those out because it cost like $5. But then I went to the bakery counter and I picked out one that you cannot tell even from looking at it what flavor it is. But I think it's a flavor near and dear to his heart.
Yeah.
So
now I will admit, tomorrow at my birthday dinner where we're going,
steak,
I will indulge in a yeast roll because
this place
has
the best yeast
rolls.
They
have the best yeast rolls, and it is served with cinnamon butter.
I know. See, so here's what's funny. I used to, when we would go to this place, we don't go very often, no matter how bad bread would affect me, I was like, I have to eat a yeast roll because they're delicious. No, I will take a container of the cinnamon butter now and be like, I can have the butter.
And these yeast rolls are huge.
And they only ever serve them hot.
And they come out, they're hot. They're in a basket covered with a a cloth napkin
to keep them nice and warm. And then the butter's all soft.
You break them open, you put that butter and just melt in there.
I just want the butter. That's the nice thing about the ketogenic diet. I'm like, I'm just going to eat the butter. Y'all have fun with this bread thing you're doing. Here we go, some cinnamon butter.
But no, I'm very pleased with the changes.
Even your Daddy Dome shirt fits looser than it used to. Even my Baby Girl shirt fits looser than it used to. By the way, for podcast listeners, we wore our Daddy Dome Baby Girl shirts tonight.
Yes.
So I'm used to wearing practically nothing to record a podcast episode.
Right.
And I saw myself I was in pajamas and I saw myself on camera. No. I might not be putting on makeup and I might not have brushed my hair, but I will put on a shirt.
And I usually record in next to nothing.
I've seen you record in your underwear.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. I'm kind of glad those archived episodes will be audio only. There's no picture proof of that.
No, there is
not. Keep it
that
way.
There. No, you won't. No.
No. Yeah. I like how you look, but it might be a little disconcerting for others.
Yes.
So there's a lot going on, as there always is. I'm feeling amazing. You are feeling and looking amazing. We're rocking and rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Your birthday's this week, the week we're recording out, depending on when you're listening. The 12-year-old becomes a 13-year-old next week.
Oh, God.
You know, hey, he's already exhibiting all the signs.
I think mentally he's already 13.
He's already there. and so there's just, and you know, we've got a trip, just a weekend trip this month to go scout out the places we think we want to move next year. My aunt and uncle are pushing really hard for us to move to their town, and there's a lot of appeal there for why we would do it.
There is.
The downside is I don't love the ratings the schools get.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting some work done around the house. We have an electrician coming. Like, there's all kinds of stuff. And six months ago, this would be stressing me out. I would be sort of on the brink. And now I'm like, today at least, who knows what will happen tomorrow. I'm like, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. We got this under control. It'll be fine. I've got a to-do list, and that's really all I ever need.
Right. Made it to-do list, and we're knocking the big things out first. And I've made all the phone calls, got all the estimates, and we're ready to rock and roll.
We're doing all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
So hopefully we can translate some of this energy into other things we're doing, which is why we've got the YouTube element now, because we can add that. And we've still got all the things we said in January of this year that we wanted to do. Some of those things I think we've learned that maybe they're not the best option, but other things it's like we just have to get started and we just have to work it into our routine, and very slowly we're able to do that.
Yep.
And we have in the past couple of weeks picked up a ton of new patrons. I want to do a thing, might be at the end of a month or the beginning of a new month. I'll do a shout out, like keeping your privacy in mind, you know, like first names only or nicknames or whatever, of all of our patrons as a thank you, because I do want to acknowledge those people and those patrons, because they are helping us do this. And they're taking a huge weight off of our shoulders. And hopefully they're getting something good and valuable in return.
Right.
But so yeah, we've got stuff going on.
Yes, we do.
I know. So I think that needs to be it for us.
Yes, I think so. We've gone long for us.
It's a long one. It was very rambly to begin with, and it took a while to get kick-started. Sorry.
All right.
Yeah, I guess. That means we have to go to bed, too.
Correct.
Because it's late for us. We're recording at night.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mention that. So our lighting on the YouTube video is funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love if listeners would at least go, like, put faces, like, names. If you haven't seen a lot of pictures of us or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do post those, but we don't post them regularly. So
that's
us, and that's what I look like when I'm talking. What episode 136, not looking at the camera. Episode 137, looking at the camera. We're getting better every time.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's
say goodbye. Nice people get on with their life.
Yes.
Yeah. They probably had to listen to this episode in like two or three parts to get through it. I have to do that with my favorite podcast in a while.
Wow.
If they're good enough, then I'm willing to, but it takes me time.
All right.
Okay. Bye, y'all. We love you.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Bye. I love you. Bye. Mean it.